But it's an awesome privilege to be here. My name is Carlos Moses. I was born and raised in Worcester, 5th of February, 1975, in the summer. So I'm 35 years old now. I've given my life to the Lord the 16th of May, 2004. And I'm here this morning to talk about family. You know that song, can we get the first slide there, please? You know that song, We Are Family? Sister Sledge. I don't know if you can remember it. Yeah, it was a cool song. So I'm here to talk about family, and I think it's only fair to introduce my family to you. So if we can go to that first slide, just to technical problem. It's fine. When they're up and running, I'll introduce my family. But my wife's name is Elmery. She's from Paul. She was born in the 27th of August, 1974. Beautiful lady. She prayed me into the kingdom. And I have two daughters. So if you see their picture, just show me. Are they there? Not yet. There they are. Oh, the lights. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, it's my life. It's my wife on your right-hand side with the glasses on. And then on your far left, this is my daughter. She has a doctorate in asking questions. Her name is Carla. She was born on Freedom Day, the 27th of April. It's the day that we first voted in South Africa. So on Freedom Day, the 27th, she's 3 years old now. And my youngest one, she's about 9 months now. Her name is Eva. Did I tell you what my other daughter's name is? Carla. It's Carla, Eva, and Elmery. Our second one died. We didn't know if it was a he or a she, miscarriage. It was a really hard knock for us as a family. But I'm hoping one day I'll ask God, where's he, she? Show me. You know. So I'm really, when I'm going to our dad, I'm going to ask him if it was a he or she. So that's my family. So let's start, guys. Let's start. I'm going to read from the book of Romans this morning. And I just want to give you a little bit of background on Romans. Paul writes the book to the Christians in Rome. He's never been in Rome. So he writes to them. He's on his way to Jerusalem because he has to take some alms to the Christians, the poorer Christians in Jerusalem. And so he writes this letter and he tells the guys in Rome, look here, my brothers, I'm coming to you, but I first have to stop in Jerusalem and then I have to stop in Spain before I come to you. But now he doesn't reach Rome because he's arrested and we all know that he dies. But now he's writing to them. He's telling them, look, you guys, I'm coming to you. And then he explains the doctrine of Christianity. It's the book that's got the best explanation of all the doctrines, baptism and everything. And then he's just basically saying in this book, look, you guys, we all are lost. Every one of us. But Christ died for us and we are saved by grace. And then he says, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter your nationality, where you come from. If you call upon the name of the Lord, as we just sung, then you will be saved. And then he explains from chapter 12 onwards, how do you live out this lifestyle? Practically, the Christian lifestyle. How do you live it out? And that is where we're going to start this morning. We started our glorious reception, Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it's wonderful. I just heard Uncle D's said that in one of his songs. I don't know if he can remember, but he prayed it. And it was just a confirmation to me. And something that you just prayed also, it was also confirmation. So thanks, guys. I could have sworn they were listening to me during the week as I was preparing, but they were not. So it's a glorious reception when God receives us into his family. Now, what makes this so glorious that Christ died for us and received us into his kingdom while we were still sinners? I don't know of any other religion where the king will do this for his followers. I haven't seen it in any other religion. I haven't read it in any other book. Jesus died for me. He died for you while we were still sinners. And he received us into his kingdom with a few conditions. But that's that. It's such a glorious reception into God's family. And what is so unique about this? There's not another person in this universe that has done this. You can go study all the literature. You won't find anybody else dying for me and for you. Bled to death on a cross. Well, technically Christ didn't die. He gave up his life. You know, Jesus didn't die. He gave up his life. It's something quite different. But that's what he did. And in Luke chapter 15 verse 7, Jesus says something really interesting. Just read with me. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. It's a joyful reception. When we come and we say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm here this morning. I don't know what it means. I don't know what I have to do, but I feel in my heart that I just have to say to somebody and to you, I want to give my life to you. If that's you and you do that, it's a joyful reception. There's a huge party. Now, God actually dances. You can go read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It speaks of God dancing in circles, spinning around with such an intense motion. God can dance. I know it's difficult for some of us to believe this morning, but he can. And boy, does he have moves. If you look at some of us dancing, you can just see he's a glorious creator. And so that is how God feels when we give our lives to him. We are received into his family. And I'm talking about family this morning. And the reason I start with the reception, because this is really important, receiving. Because look what Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 5 to 7. Receiving one another into our family. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We need to receive one another just as Christ received us. Now, that's a huge challenge. That is a huge challenge. I mean, to receive one another as Christ received us, you know, it's really difficult. But it's possible. And that is why I'm here this weekend. God told me you're here to receive. So I was invited by a family. I stayed with them. I met the Skoon brothers and the Skoon sisters. I met everybody, you know. And now I'm here with you. And God is telling me this morning, that is why you were here this morning, this weekend. You need to receive. The Lord told me there's some things that you've done faithfully, my son. And so the reason why they don't want you to do anything and the reason why they're spoiling you rotten is because I want you to receive. Now, it's really difficult for me to understand it. I'll tell you why. It's very difficult to receive, especially for Westerners. We really love to give. It's always cool to give because then it seems that you're in control. I'm giving, I'm in control, so I'm giving. But now what I've learned with God over the years is before you even give, you must learn how to receive. And it is so difficult for us. So I want to pray and I want to do warfare next to the beach, but nothing's happening. I'm walking and saying, God, what's the word? You tell me, Lord. And all the Lord is just saying, receive, relax, drink cool drink, look at the beach, just sit. And it's weird how it works because I don't understand this. I'm a very industrious person. I like to work and I like to focus. And God is just telling me, receive. And so this is why I'm here this weekend. And so practically, I would just like to talk to us about receiving this morning, and especially receiving one another. So that is really important to me. So let's just define receiving. Receiving, it means I'm initiating the action, but also participates in this action. So the family that I'm staying with over this weekend, they're initiating stuff, and I must participate in what they're giving to me, and their friends. And there's also something that you can give me. Now please, I'm not talking about finances. I'm just talking about receiving. Receiving from you. And so I need to be open, and it's really important when we receive in a season like this, a season of grace, you'll start noticing there's no five-step plan to work through your difficult circumstances. There's no five-step plan on how to do this and how to do that if you're going through difficult circumstances now. And the first thing, when we receive, we need to be honest. Now, yesterday I was talking to Tani Hilu and Chrissy. So now I'm sharing with them really personal stuff. I'm really uncomfortable. But you can ask them. I told them some personal stuff about my wife's sister, about my wife's brother, and about the things that me and Almri went through. The first time that I've met them, now I'm sitting there, I'm spilling my guts, because I know God is challenging me in being honest with people. Honest. They gave me a warm welcome. I received them, but now the first thing, access, if you go to the next slide, to one's heart. You must give people access to your heart. Really difficult. It's not easy in opening your heart up to other people, especially to us as Westerners. So I just felt God was challenging me with that year, and I opened my heart. I told him, look, yeah, this is really personal stuff that I'm telling you now, but I just spilled it. And it was so liberating for me in being honest, you know. And what Dennis was saying about the praying, the first thing that a family needs to realize if we are going to become a family, families pray together. And so the intercession is something really important because there God spills his heart. So we need to hear together as a family what is God saying. Because he opens up his heart and then he says, look into my heart and I'll show you stuff. You don't know. And it's the same with me. I need to be honest. And then there's this friendship thing that happens when you open up your heart and you're honest. You know, I was, at the beginning of this year, I was really irritated with my wife and my children. Now, it wasn't their mistake. But there was just this irritation inside of me. And so one evening, I'm bathing my oldest daughter, Carla, and she does something. I don't know what she did. And I got angry with her. And so I'm shouting at her. And after I've done that, I just feel, ooh, I've lost it. So now I got up. I said, God, please forgive me. It was wrong. Because I could see in her eyes, I hurt her. So I come back after 1 minute of repenting. Now my daughter says, hello, Papa, where were you, Dad? She's smiling. So now I feel like a worm. Because she's not angry with me anymore. She forgave me on the spot. You know, it's not like us. I'll carry you around in my heart with my bitterness and my anger. You know, she's not like that. And so I had to be honest. I told my wife, look here, honey, I'm irritated with you and I'm irritated with Carla, but it's not your fault. I just want to tell you that. I really want to change. And I know some of us are going through things like that, similar. You can't change it. And it's really just tugging at your heart and you don't know how to change it. I just want to tell you, you're at a good place. It's God showing you. There's some stuff that I want to get rid of. And this is so beautiful. We cannot do anything. God must do it. So I was honest with my wife. I told her there's this beautiful honesty in our house. And my wife told me, look here, I get really angry with you. Really easy. I get angry. I want to snap at you. She's telling, but I don't want to be angry with you. There's nothing that you're doing, but there's just this anger in me. And so we realize God is doing something amongst us. He's teaching us on how to receive. Are you with me? So, who's at that place where you're at a difficult stage of your life? You can't explain it. You're not in touch with what's going on around you, but you know God is doing something in your heart. Does anybody like to raise his hands? Who's at that place? There's quite a few people. Yeah, I know. After you've been honest in receiving, you need to be patient. In other words, you take the person by the hand and lead the person by the hand. You have to be patient. Now I have to be patient with my wife, and my wife needs to be patient with me. I've told her I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do anything to hurt her. Now she needs to be patient with me, but I need to be patient with her also. And so, you know, I'm seeing our Tani Ilula, they're looking at me. There's this calm, they're collective, they're patient. No. Uncle Dennis says, there's the fridge, get what you want. If you're hungry, get some food. If they're not making food, get some food for you. You know, it's also laid back. And I'm thinking, God, should I be so laid back? Is it possible? God says, receive. These people are patient with you. They're driving me around. Then I'm in this bucky, and then I'm in this car. And I'm just sitting, you know, and I'm honest. These people, they're patient with me. And we need to be patient with them, especially if you're married. At this time, be patient. And then the third thing in receiving, be gentle. We must learn to take and receive people into our homes and into our lives and into our hearts. And we need to treat them as our closest friends with kindness. Now, this is not something that you can do out of your own strength. God needs to help us here. Because culturally there's too many differences. You know, you can ask any married couple that's been married for more than, who's been married for more than 20 years. Now, the woman, the Tani in Worcester, that does our marriage enrichment, they're married for 40 years now. But you know, Opi, he called me aside one day. He told me, you know, just as I thought, I figured out Tani Frida. She freaks me out. She freaked me out this morning. Now, if it takes them a lifetime to know each other, it will take us a lifetime to know God. And to be patient and gentle with one another is a challenge. Because I need to be gentle with my wife now for where she is. You know, I have to look in there and say, are you angry with me again, Boki? Tell me, what did I do? Now, you know it's not always possible. Because if she bites, I want to growl. And when she growls, I want to growl louder. You know how it goes. Even with your friends at school. They're doing things to irritate you. And just this thing, God, I'll choke her now. I'll throw holy water over and then I'll repent later. But can't I just do something to her? patience, being gentle in receiving. Because if we take this into account and we want to receive each other and make it practical, we need to realize that there's a uniqueness of relationship in receiving. And I'll explain this to you. Jesus says that you must value people, and we must start valuing each other in church. We were 5 children. It was me, the eldest. Then I had twin brothers, Shamus, Sean. Then my sister, Rowena, and then my youngest sister, Inga. Now, Sean died in a car crash. He was 10 minutes older than his twin brother. So this dawned on me last year. I'm sitting. So now I'm feeling sad. I miss him. He died in the year 2000. Now I'm sitting there. I'm missing him. And I'm trying to figure out, God, what is it that I'm missing about Sean here? I can't figure this thing out. And so I realized this. There's a way that Sean connected with me and my mother. And because he connected a certain way to me, I had a certain response towards him. Now that thing is gone. Only he can make my mother laugh in a certain way. Only Sean could make my brothers and my sisters laugh in a certain way. Now the thing is gone. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And that's what I miss the most. Do you know what that thing is called? It's called relationship. And so that is why we know how we feel when we miss Christ. It feels that he's so far away. Like Thew prayed. Gone. We feel that we're not received. And that is why we need to value each other right here as we're sitting and looking at each other. And we need to value people outside, sinners. We really need to start valuing them. Because there's a way that sinners will connect with you, and they will sometimes irritate the life out of us. And more so our friends in small group and our friends in school, they'll irritate us. But I tell you, if they're gone, they're gone. They're never coming back. You'll miss it. It's a part of the uniqueness of relationship. And, you know, one Saturday afternoon, me and my wife were sitting at home and we thought, now, who can we go to? And the first thing we told each other, we don't want to go to church people. We want to go to people that's not saved. They don't know Jesus. We just would like to go visit them. So now we're thinking, who? Nobody. Now, I don't think that is right. I told Elmery, Boki, do we really have nobody to visit? Not even one single person that's not saved. And the trick is, if you chill out with them, you're not supposed to preach to them. I'm not supposed to get them saved. I'm just supposed to chill with them. I'm supposed to receive from them. They're brying, you know. I'm standing there. They're telling me a story. I'm enjoying the story. I'm receiving from them. They're receiving from me, but I'm not preaching to them. I'm just being myself with them. And I just realized that there's so much that needs to change within me and my wife's heart in receiving. And so I'm learning a lot this weekend. God has been showing me so many stuff, and I'm just sharing it with you as I'm going along. So it's really important that we need to value people, and we need to realize there's a uniqueness in relationship. There's nobody else sitting here that can look at me like this lady is looking at me. You know, real sophisticated. She's discerning me. Is he of the Lord? Is he not of the Lord? You know, but it's precious. I need to recognize it in her. Which brings me to the following point, Matthew chapter 13, verse 54-58. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue. This is now Jesus. And they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? This lady, didn't he grow up here? Around the corner? A carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? That lives down the road? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and his own house a prophet is without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. They were too familiar with Jesus. You know, we get too familiar with each other. Sometimes we cannot see the glory of God. Sometimes we first need to recognize the glory of God in somebody else. I need to recognize the glory of God in my sister's life. If I recognize the glory of God in my sister's life, then I can receive from her. Jesus was the real deal, but the people of his hometown could not recognize the glory in his life, so they could never receive from him. He didn't do many miracles there because it was the carpenter's lady. His mother stays here around the corner. I know where they live. It can't be him. They don't see the glory of God on Jesus, and so they can't receive from him. And so we need to honor people when it comes to receiving people into our family. Doesn't matter who they are. There's this young bloke in our church. Now, he irritates everybody. Everybody's always angry with him because he asks these difficult questions. You know, and he corners, you know, I don't know if he thinks up these questions where, but it's really good questions, I must tell you. You know, I was a teacher, so I know him because he was at the school for the hearing impaired. And I had the privilege 2 years ago to lead him to Christ. He actually came to see me about a lady. Should he go out with her? Not. I said, yo, you go pray about it and you come tell me next weekend if you should go out with her. So he comes back. He doesn't talk about the lady. He says, now I think I need Jesus. I said, well done. I prayed for him. I led him to the Lord. The ladies, you know, I don't know where she is now. So he had to look after himself. He doesn't know his father. His mother's an alcoholic. She has 4 different children with other men. And he had to look after himself. He lived in hostel. He taught himself how to weld. He's really gifted. But now because of that fatherhood, it's difficult for him to receive because he's really proud. So he knows everything. Ooh. You know, he's clever. And he has all these answers. But now, in small group, he would go like, now, why don't you guys visit me? I visit everybody. I take gifts and everything. Why are you not visiting me? I don't think it's not of the Lord that we should not visit each other. So now I can think the cell leader. Yeah, but Nathan, all of us have problems. Yeah, but I just want to say, why did you come visit me now? They don't have an answer for him why they're not visiting him. What they really want to tell him is, Nathan, because you irritate us. Because of that attitude, I don't want to come to you. That is how they feel, but they can't tell it to him. So now he comes to me. And I have to tell him, Nathan, you're obnoxious. Even if you give and people don't give back to you, you give and you just give. You don't expect to receive anything. You know, he talks like a Cape Townian. Does anybody know how the Cape Townians talk? Nah, but they seen. Nah, you know. Say, Nathan, please just leave the signs in the office. Just put your hands on your lap and just talk to me. You know. But if people start honoring Nathan, they will actually start to receive from him. And you will listen to them because it's really, really important. And obviously, when you open your heart, there needs to be a balance. You can't tell everybody everything. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I mean, there's certain stuff that you can't tell other people. But we need to open our hearts. It's not about what you say, it's what you're not saying. And people pick up on that. And so a huge challenge for me is when I have to preach in a congregation like this, I need to ask God, God, please let the people connect with me in heart. Let them receive from me. Let them know that I'm willing to receive from them. It's one thing coming here, talking to you as if I know everything, and then I leave again 3 o'clock. Well, a capella, I'm gone. But it's wrong. In kingdom, it's wrong. There needs to be an openness because Scripture says submit to one another. And that is why I'm calling this the One Another series. You can study it for yourself, all the one another's. Go study all the one another's in Bible. I'm talking receiving from one another, but there's also a lot of other one another's. It rhymes, eh? It sounds good. So, very important. We must recognize God's glory in people's lives, and then we can receive from Him, from them. Like in Jesus' case, they couldn't. And so many times, God will just keep His glory and everything away from us, just so that He can make us vulnerable enough to listen to other people. At this moment in time, I'm standing here, I'm vulnerable. I told Tani Hilu why I'm vulnerable. But I had to do it. Because if I'm preaching about family, then you need to be family. I can't stand here and say that you're my family, but then you feel distant from me. I can't say that I'm family and you don't feel that there's not a place for you in my heart. And you know, I talk to people. You know, sometimes you get people, they only want to preach at you. The only time that they talk with you is when they can preach with you. In the name of Jesus, you need to this and you need to that. And all I'm sometimes is wondering, listen, yeah, I wanna have a conversation with you. Are you willing to listen to me? And people not willing to listen to me. And so what can you give? Are you with me? So as a family, we need to receive from one another. Really important. Then be hospitable. Hospitality, the Latin. And the explanation is the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. And then the Greek, phalanexos, to entertain strangers, be fond of guests, given to hospitality from the root word phalos, meaning friend or neighbor. And so I'm just quickly going to look at receiving, honest, patient, you still remember that? Honest, patient, what's the other one? Gentle. And now we're going to look at who? Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hospitable to one another. Remember, it starts with opening your heart. If people sees that there's a place for them in your heart, distance doesn't count. Who's in love at this moment in this church but not yet married? Is there anybody like that here? Is it a distance relationship? You can ask him. He knows there's a place in that lady's heart for him, so distance doesn't matter. There's relationship. She knows the same thing. Things get wobbly when you start thinking, uh-oh, where's my place in her heart? Do I belong there? It's the same with us. Hospitable. It starts there and then it's something practical. So, this morning is not about doing anything. It's just a change of heart that I think the Lord wants to bring within His church. Now, God is doing this, I think, right across the board. It's a change of heart. You don't have to go do anything to prove anything. You just need to say this morning, Lord, I want this change in my heart. I want to receive from my wife. You know, sometimes your wife comes and then your wife tells you, don't do this and don't do that and don't. Then you think, oh, she's nagging. But then you're not recognizing it's the prophet speaking to you. Then you need to receive from the prophet. It's not your wife. There's a prophet's anointing. Or when your husband says, I don't want you to drive alone to town anymore. Please don't do that anymore. Take someone with you. Then it's your husband. He's the office of the husband talking. And then you need to receive from your husband because he's in that office. And then sometimes he'll say, no, we're not going there. We're not going to do it this way and we're not going to buy that. Because then you must see the prophet in him. But we must receive. You with me? Does anybody understand that or why I'm confusing anybody? Some don't want to. Then you have to receive from me. I'm in the past, in the office of the pastor now. So I'm saying. No, it's a joke, guys. It's a joke. So we must learn to do that. It's really important. Receiving from one another, from that office. It's really important. It can be your child also. I don't know why I need to explain. Your child can also say, Dad, I don't feel we should be doing this. Just check from the Lord if it is because Scripture says we must submit to one another. In other words, the same Holy Spirit that is in her heart is in my heart. It's not a different spirit. So if the Spirit speaks through her, I need to receive. I need to receive. It's a really important thing. So, 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality again to one another without grumbling. So the saints, we need to receive from the saints. Strangers and temporary residents, Leviticus 19:34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Let's just read Deuteronomy 10:18-19. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. Can we just stop there? Really important, something really beautiful. When Israel came out of Egypt, there was a lot of pagan people that came with them. And then God tells them, you must receive from these people. You must be hospitable to them. You must love them. Now, twice God tells them, because you were also strangers. Now, how the Lord taught this to me. Okay. Has anyone of you ever felt like an outcast? You're the only male between the females. Let's start with the easy one. And they're chatting about the sandals and the clothes. And oh, and I bought me this beautiful skirt. And you're just standing there, you're thinking, oof, skirts and sandals again. Was it a female with all the men? And they make these jokes, and you don't see it's funny. And you have to listen to all these jokes, huh? And you think, can't they talk about something else? You know, or you don't like cars, you're a man, you don't like cars, and all the men around you talks about cars. You like gardening, and so you don't want to tell them, but I actually like gardening. You know, so you're sitting there, you know, or you're the only colored person amongst white people. You know, now it gets more heavier, or you're the only white person amongst all blacks, and they speak another language. Now you're standing there, you know. You feel like an outsider. Standing there. Oh, God, I don't understand what they're saying. Are you with me? Who's ever felt like that? You feel rejected. Now that's what God was telling Israel. Remember how rejection feels. And do not let anybody else feel rejected amongst you. Especially those who are traveling with you. Because you were rejected in Egypt. You know how it feels when you were in Egypt. You know you were not respected. You know you were the minority. You know you were slaves. So when there's other people among, don't let them feel like that. And it's a really tough lesson for us as Christians. But it's something that I want God to change in my heart. Everybody is welcome, but I can't accommodate everything. Everybody is welcome in my house, but I can't accommodate smoking in my house. but they must feel welcome in my house. Everybody's welcome to church, but there's certain stuff that we need to talk about that we can't accommodate. It's not that we're funny. It's not that we want to be strict. There's a certain rules about our house that you need to have respect for. I need to have respect. Are you with me? But people should never feel rejected amongst us. You know, it's a funny thing. Tani Ilya and her daughters, they speak German, but I don't feel rejected. I just feel safe. You know, whoosh, 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 you know, guys. And I try to figure out, okay, they're talking about that now. Oh, yeah, I'm right. But I don't feel rejected. I don't feel like an outcast. Because remember what I said, it starts within your heart. It's a heart's thing. Are you with me? Amen. And then, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by some have even entertained angels. Yeah. That hasn't happened to me. But it would be a privilege to entertain an angel as a stranger. Now, just the context of this. Let me read to you. Hebrews chapter 13. If anybody else finds Hebrews chapter 13 before me, please just tell me, then I'll read from your Bible. From verse 1. You've got it. Who's got it? You've got it. Bring your Bible here, my dear. Please. Oh. You know, let's receive from the man at the back. Now, Hebrews was written to Jews. The Jews were persecuted for following the way of Jesus. So now they were persecuted so badly that some of them wanted to return back to Judaism. All the rituals and, you know, sacrificing lambs. They wanted to go back to all the rituals. And so now the writer of Hebrews is writing to the Jewish Christians and he's saying to them, guys, don't turn back. Now there's a chapter where the writer talks about persecution. And then he says some weird stuff. Some of these guys, they've been sawed in two, you know. Don't turn back. You stay on the right way. Then he gets practical. Then he says to the Jewish speaking Christians, he says to them, first of all, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. So what he's saying, you must love one another. Then the second one is the one that I've just read, verse 2. Do not neglect to show partiality to strangers. So, when there's strangers among you, you must receive from them also. You must love them. They must feel welcome. Then the third one. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them and them which suffer adversity. Those were the guys in jail. So the Christians that were persecuted that was in jail, the writer also says you shouldn't forget them. They must still receive from you and you must still receive from them. The Apostle Paul wrote 50% of his letters from prison. And we need to receive from him. And then the fourth verse, it speaks of marriage. It says also, because of the persecution, so many Christians were scattered through Europe. That's why I'm saying you must love the brothers who's being persecuted. Number two, you must love the strangers that are being persecuted. They will knock at you and say, look, I'm a Christian. I'm being persecuted. I'm being chased. Let them stay. And then those that have been caught by the authorities, you must receive from them. You must respect them. And then also marriage. And the way I see it, there were so many beautiful hunks, prophets that were running and ladies. And they're saying, no, no, guys, you must still honor the marriage bed. If a prophetess comes to you and she needs to stay with you and you need to honor and she comes in, yeah, you keep its hands off. The marriage bed is honorable. So are you with me? So that is the context. And there has been literature about people receiving angels. And it could have only been angels. I mean, you can study the literature and go check for yourself. Is it authentic? And so, closing, the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse Verse 12 from the New King James Version. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We need to receive from one another as a body. Jesus is the head of the body. You can't say you love Jesus, but you hate the body. You can't say I love the head, but I hate the body. I had to speak to a beautiful, wonderful young man, and he had a problem with the body, and I told him, no, look, I know you got hurt in church, but all that I want to tell you is you need to set that straight, and you need to belong to the body. You can't love the head and tell the head that you hate his body. Jesus is the head. And I'll tell you something, Jesus loves his body. Jesus is jealous of his body. Even if his body does make so many mistakes, he still honors his body. And so it was a shocker for him, and he told me, look here, it makes sense. So I told him, it's fine, I respect you. I respect the fact that you got hurt. Otherwise, I wouldn't have sat with you and talked with you about this. All I want you just to know is, sooner than later, just come to a place where you can come into a family. The Holy Spirit moves powerfully where there is a functional family. The Holy Spirit finds it difficult to move in dysfunctional families. Are you with me? What I'm trying to teach you, and what the Lord has just been showing me. And it's so beautiful. Just to be honest and say, hey, we don't have everything. We don't have it together. I mean, I don't have it together in my home. You know? But I can be honest, and I know there's people that's gentle with me, and they're patient with me, and it's so glorious. So as a body, we need people that's on other emotional levels. There's on other intellectual levels, you know? We need to relate to people with dissimilar personalities. She's a talker. He's not a talker. He's an excessive talker. So I'll be the excessive listener. You know? But we must learn to receive. And that is why it's not easy. And when we receive from one another in that way, then the Holy Spirit starts moving. And when I've learned to receive from her and I'm ready to give, can sometimes only be a prayer. Look here, we agree on this. Can I pray for you? We break this thing in the name of Jesus. And that's that. I got saved 16 May 2004. The first week after I got saved, I'm a teacher. So I've got the under 16 rugby team with me on the field. So we are practicing and training. In that first week, so before that I was a DJ. I DJed in clubs. I had a promiscuous lifestyle. Really bad lifestyle. I'm not proud of it. Lots of ladies involved. Alcohol and so many bad things. I don't want to go in there because that's not important. You know, sometimes people, they testify and they testify only about the bad stuff. For 1 hour they testify about all the bad stuff and then at the end they say, but now I'm safe. I don't want to talk about that part. I want to talk about the part after I got saved. So now I'm training these guys and the Holy Spirit is saying to me, I want you to go and tell Almarie that you've been unfaithful to her. By that time, she was my girlfriend. We're not married yet. So, you know, I'm thinking, nah, it's Carnaby. And as I'm just training, you know how the conviction works? It presses more on you and your stomach starts turning. That query feeling, I want you to go to Almarie and tell her that you've been unfaithful to her. Oh. The conviction hits me again and I'm ignoring it. And then the third time, I know somebody's trying to tell me something. So I said, guys, practice stops now. Go to the hostel, see you. They're angry, I say, go. So now I'm walking to her home. I'm saying, God, how am I going to say this? God, I got saved last week. In fact, I got saved Sunday. it's Thursday today. Now I have to tell her. So I get home. She prayed for me because she got saved before me. She literally prayed me into the kingdom. And this morning past five, she sent me an SMS. I'm praying for you. Enjoy it. So I'm now being prayed for, you know. It's such a blessing. Anyway, she's happy to see me. Do you want tea? And I'm thinking, if you know why I'm here, you won't give me tea. So, yes, I want tea. So I said, look here, Al. I really want to tell you something. Look, I've been unfaithful to you so many times. And we start arguing. Got so bad I left. I'm walking, I'm crying. Say, God, you said. Now this happened. I don't understand this. I walk home, and as I'm at home, 10 minutes later, she comes in. I'll never forget how I stood against that wall in my room. I said, God, you know I don't want to be like this anymore. She's not seeing it, and I don't understand it. And Almri comes in, and she says, I'm sorry. She apologized to me. Since that day, we've never spoken about it again. I was received. That day I said, God, this God that she serves, I want to serve him. And if it's you, then I want to do that. 6 months later, she became my wife. You've seen her now. I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't received me that day. I really don't know, guys. But I'm standing here because of a lady that understood so many things about God. And she just received me for who I am. I'm standing here today. I have two beautiful children. She really looks after our house. I'm blessed by someone who could receive me. And that is my heart. I want that for everybody. Now I know why it happened to me. Because there's so many people that feels rejected. So can we stand, please? I want to pray for those people that you said you felt that you've done something. You know, God will receive you. And if you're not seeing the glory in anybody of God, I want you to see the glory of God into your brothers and your sisters. It's so wonderful when people are outside and they look at us and they see the light in us. A friend of mine died 2 years ago. I took him a DVD of Salvador. They're a gospel band. And I gave the DVD to him, and he listened to them. And this guy that's the lead singer, he looked at him. At that time, my friend wasn't saved. He looked at him, and he said, just like it, there's this beautiful peace in this guy's face. Hey, I told him, yeah. And so he said something that shocked me. He said, but it's also in you and Almri. You know, people, that's why we're the light and the salt. People look at us and they see the glory. And when they recognize the glory on us, like he recognizes us, we must learn to receive from them. And we must learn to guide them into the kingdom. Because nobody comes in there to be condemned. If a person comes in there, that person seeks love. That person seeks the Lord's grace. That person is looking for a place to be received. I'm looking, is there anybody that can help? And you know what? I'm looking at my own life. Sometimes we just so duh. For the English-speaking people, our skulls are, my skull is sometimes so thick. I'm so focused. And then God has to do a weekend like this with me. He takes me from my wife, from my kids, and just places me in another place, and then he just tells me, now just look and learn to receive. So I'm so grateful for where I'm here. God, I want to say thank you for where I am this morning. I want to say thank you for the people that you placed you with. And God, it's such a privilege to be one of your kids. I want to thank you. But Father, there's so many of us here this morning. We haven't been received. God, we feel rejected in our own homes. Our fathers look at us and they speak down to us. They insult us. our school friends, we're not part of the clique. We are treated like outsiders. We don't belong. We can't receive from each other in marriage. God, my husband speaks, I hear something else. My wife speaks, I hear something else. God, there's this thing's blocking it. And I'm just saying, trusting that for God, and I'm just sensing God wants to break all those demonic discommunication that is just snapping and coming to steal away all the messages that we're supposed to hear and we hear other messages. God, I break that in the name of Jesus so that we can hear from each other and receive from one another. But God, now there's so many people that haven't received you as a dad. And I know if you're here this morning and God is calling you, you know in your heart, you will know. If he's calling and tucking on your heart and saying, come, I want to receive you. My son died for you while he was still a sinner. If that is you this morning, I want you just to raise your hand if you want to receive that. Is there anybody like that here this morning? There's one hand. Just come. Come, my boy. I want to pray for you. Let's just give him a hand. Let's receive him into the kingdom. Is there anybody else that would like to receive that? Is there anybody else that would like to receive that? Just as we keep our eyes closed, if you really feel that God is tucking in your heart and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, then I want to pray with you. And we will receive you. You know, I'm from Worcester, quite a few thousand kilometers from here, but it's part of the family. I'm with family. And we want to receive you into this family. Is there anybody else that really would like to experience this and receive this gift? And I know it's a humbling thing because he must trust God that he will be received and he must receive it. And then, if you're a Christian, but in any stage of your life, you've just feel so rejected. Doesn't matter where you come from. You know, you always feel like the outsider. When family comes together and they're having a bride, and you always feel, ooh, I don't belong here. Is there anybody like that? Would you please just come forward? Is there anybody else like that? That feels, I just want to break that thing over you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Anybody else that wants to be, you know, feel loved, you don't feel loved? Is there any couples here? There's confusion in the way you talk to each other. You feel, you know, you're not connecting with one another. Husband says one thing, wife understands another thing. Wife says one thing, husband. Even if it's your children, let's just let them come. I really would like to pray for you guys. It would be my honor. I believe God will be doing something here this morning and we will be able to receive from one another and we will be able to receive people into God's kingdom and it will be a joyous, joyous thing. I just want to pray for him. Father, I want to thank you for this young man. I thank you that he responded to your call this morning, Lord. And God, I pray as he's receiving you now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will release every gift in him that he needs to honor your body with God in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the love that you're placing inside of now. And I thank you, Lord, that he will never be the same again. Although he thinks he will not be the same again, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray your fire that will be burning in his heart. And as he moves forward, he will receive from you, Lord. Father, I want to pray for these other beautiful young kids that are here, God. Thank you that they, for the first time this morning, experience your love, genuine love, as you see them. You don't see them with titles or anything. You see them as they are, their names, precious to you. Their names are written on your hand, the palms of your hand, Lord. Lord, in you say in Scripture, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, that they need not be afraid. They need not be scared. You will help them. Yes, Father, I thank you for this precious gift of the Holy Spirit that draws us. There's so many things that is just drawing us to you, God. And Father, I want to break all this negativity over us in the name of Jesus. All these things that keeps us bound, God, I want to break it in the name of Jesus. And I want to release, Father, every gift here this morning. In Jesus' name. As we just keep our eyes closed. And I just want us to take time just to listen to what God is saying. Just listen. I'm just sensing there's a lady. You really find it difficult to connect with your daughter. And I'm sensing God maybe saying, maybe you're divorced or there's trouble at home, but God wants to connect with you this morning. And he really just wants to bring you to a place. And he just wants to tell you, he knows it's not your fault, but he wants to press in and he just really wants to touch you. If that is you, I would really like you to come. I'm also sensing a young man, you know, or maybe you're married by now, but God is just saying to you this morning, I know that your father hurt you so bad one day. It's so difficult to forgive him. It still sits in your heart. If that is you as a man, I want you to come. And then I'm just sensing that there's just a difficult for some of us to receive because we've been hurt. And hey, let's be fair, if people hurt you, it's difficult to receive and it's difficult to give. If you've been hurt and it's just a difficult just to reach out and to receive, I would just like you to come and pray for you. If that's you, I just want you to come. Or if you can just give an indication by raising your hands, I'll pray from you. If anything, any one of these things touched your heart, just raise your hands. You don't need to come forward. There's one hand there. There's another hand. There's another hand. I just want to pray for you from here. God, as a church, Lord, we sometimes we hurt so many people. We just come and we just say, God, we didn't do it knowingly. God, and there's so many things that we do. We don't know what we're doing. And people get hurt and they don't have the guts. No, not the guts, Lord. The boldness to come and tell us. But God, I pray for that boldness and that freedom just to share with one another so that we can receive from one another in our small groups. And God, for those people that raised their hands that got hurt, Lord, and it was painful for them, I thank you that you're healing them now. I thank you that this is the first step in their honesty where this is saying, this is me, God, this is who I am, and this is how I feel. But God, you're reaching out to them and you're healing so many of us. So many wounded people, Father. And God, thank you that so many wounded people will come to this church and they will receive healing here because we will be receiving from one another. And God, we will receive them and we will pray for them. And God, even if we do not have finances or food or anything, we can lay hands on them and we can break the assignment of the enemy over them in the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you for your spirit that will just flow through this place. And God, thank you for miracles that you will be doing and you will be touching people. God, and every tear in this place is not a tear in vain. You wipe the tears. God, you also say in Scripture, comfort one another. God, let this church and let us be known as a family, people who will comfort one another. There's a whole sick and tired world out there, God. Thank you that you've given us the mandate in Swakopmund as a family to comfort those. To comfort those that's been rejected. To comfort those, Lord, that have been treated wrongfully and shamefully. And thank you that we can stand up just in righteousness and just say this morning, we love you, we love you, we love you, as we sing Jesus. There is none beside you. Father, we thank you that we are family. And God, I just want to thank you for what you've taught me this weekend, for where I am and what you're doing with me. I appreciate it, Lord, and I thank you for being here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. It was a real pleasure.